It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
What kind of magic is automatic? I feel like dancing. I feel like dancing. Even if it's raining.
Enjoying the sunshine. It's still a bit chilly out here as we broadcast outdoors at Electric Works. It is a special event happening here at Electric Works tonight. This is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. We invite you to come out and see us 5 to 8 tonight. It's the Indy 500 Fan Fest, and so they brought a lot of special activities to participate in. They've got an Indy car sitting just a few feet down from our tent here as you walk in. Also, we've got, is that the flag stand? Is that flag?
I don't know.
What is the proper word? I don't know. But they've got one where you can pretend to wave a flag, and they've got a backdrop, so it makes it look like you're actually there. And if you look at our Twitter, which Twitter did we put that on, or
that's
which X
on,
account?
That's on X slash formerly known as Twitter at 1380 The Fan.
At 1380 The Fan, we posted a picture because we've already played the photo op game, so we've got that picture. But it's a special day for us because, long time ago, we used to be able to have the opportunity to talk to the one and only Tommy Shegler, former sports director at 21 Alive, and, you know, part of the number one news team in town. And, I mean, he left and things just completely fell apart at that radio, at that television station. It just wasn't the same. But he, of course, now is not only heading up Parkview Sports Medicine, but he's moved up the ladder. We'll have more to talk about with Tommy because Tommy Shegler is in the house. Tommy, how are you?
Rumpy.
I'm trying to think the last time we actually had a chance to share the airwaves.
It's been a minute. Yeah, it's been a minute.
It has.
You know, but it's like riding a bike. You just hop right back in.
Once a media man, always a media man.
Exactly. And the other, the good thing to know about you is that it's always the same stuff. So there's nothing unexpected.
Same thing we talked about 5 years ago. Yeah.
Exactly.
Tommy, it's always great to talk to you and want to kind of catch everybody up because I know a lot of our listeners followed you covering local sports. How many years was it that you were working at 21 Alive?
14.
Wow.
Yep.
And talk about something that never advanced. It started and it ended, and it was pretty much the same from the time you got there.
Yeah, no, it's there's been enough time that's gone by now that I have the opportunity sometimes to look back. Definitely a awesome experience in the time that I spent at 21. It didn't feel like a job. It was a good time.
I know you've got a real job. We'll talk about it in a moment, but do you miss it? Do you ever have times where you think, man, those days, I wish I could just go back and relive it once or twice?
I get asked that a lot, actually. I would say no in general. Maybe a tweak here, tweak there. There was a 1 year that where everyone coming out of COVID, the last time the Comets won the whole thing, not being down on the ice that night and being a part of that maybe gave me a little bit of a twinge. But in general, I feel like it was one of those things where it was an amazing experience. It was what I wanted to do the entire time that I was coming up through high school. I knew in high school I wanted to do broadcasting because my high school had a TV production class and I was involved in that. And so I kind of got the itch all the way back then and had worked up towards the different goals. But you get to a point in life where, you know, sometimes you feel like, okay, I've accomplished a lot of the things that I wanted to accomplish, and you have closure around the what, you know, what you were able to do, and I totally felt that on the broadcasting side, enjoyed every moment of it, but have also enjoyed stepping away and taking on a new challenge and kind of starting a new chapter.
Of course, the industry has changed since you left it. Now, all of a sudden, there's podcasting, YouTube shows. I mean, I'll bet there's still a place for you to bounce right back in.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had a couple of my nephew actually does a West Virginia podcast because he went to West Virginia as well. And for your listeners that don't remember, because it's been like 8 years since I've been around, like, I'm a West Virginia alum. So, yeah, I've had a couple of opportunities here and there to do that stuff. But yeah, I'm busy.
Well, I know that because we had to, like, get on your calendar about, well, it was like 2022. I think we had to get on your calendar. But exactly what is your role now with Parkview?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I obviously am still over Parkview Sports Medicine and have really enjoyed that whole process of learning the sports medicine business, and that's been great. What has been awesome about the opportunity at Parkview for me is I was able to transfer over into something else, but it enabled me to continue to work with all the people that I had developed a relationship with for, you know, 15 years or whatever that was on TV. There's some media members that I can't get away from. But other than that, it's allowed me to...
You're talking about Eric Dukevich, right?
Yes, of course.
Because
of course.
Obviously, every day you... Eric
Dukevich. Oh, there he is.
Look at that. He just showed up.
Dudester.
How ironic.
That opportunity to be able to continue to work with the people that I worked with for so long on the sports side of things has been amazing. And then the longer I've been there, I did go back and got a little bit of schooling and got some healthcare degrees behind my belt so that I could kind of catch up a little bit, because it was a vast change from a career standpoint, from broadcasting to medicine. So as that kind of transpired and got more comfortable, Parkview has given me some additional responsibilities on the more clinical and probably traditional medicine side that have also been just, you know, really interesting and new challenge, completely different world, right, from what people remember me doing. So it's been cool. It's been a great experience.
And of course, we hear about and talk about quite a bit the different programs on Parkview Sports Medicine and Sports Performance and everything that you've been in charge of. And in some ways, you kind of, I mean, built that from ground level. I mean, in some ways, you came in and kind of restructured some of the priorities within Parkview Sports Medicine, and it's going great today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was relatively new thing, which, you know, is kind of the reason that I got recruited over to Parkview. It was this new line of business that they were starting, and they saw an opportunity that had fantastic clinical product and awesome people on the medicine side, but they needed somebody to come in and help kind of market that and build that inside of the sports community, because they didn't have that connection to the sports community. So it did give me the opportunity to come in and build the business and do some restructuring. To your point, we've created a lot of new things. I mean, when I got there, it was really just athletic training with a couple of other things. But now we have everything from physical therapy to sports performance to mental performance, which is something that, you know, probably wasn't even being talked about that much when I first got to the Parkview. But now in the sports world, as you know, I mean, it's something that athletes are talking very openly about now. So we have a mental performance coach now. We have a sports dietitian. So it's really become a whole team of people that can help athletes, you know, with anything they may need. So it's been fun to help build it.
And just the facilities and the growth of Parkview Sports Medicine. You know, it seems like that's kind of exploded, too, around the Northeast Indiana area.
Sure, yeah. It's in Northwest Ohio, too. So I think when I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but when I first came, it was somewhere in the mid-20s of high schools that we were partnered with, and now we're close to 40. I think we're at 37-ish with the schools over in Ohio that we're partnered with now, and we're five different universities around the region. We are partnered with nine different clubs on the kind of retailer or private side of the youth sports game. So everything from volleyball to basketball to, you know, soccer and so on. And then we're in five different athletic facilities across those different clubs where we're either we either have our own space. In some cases, we are now running some of our own facilities, which is probably one of the newer things that we're doing, that we're, instead of just partnering with local sports, we're starting to run some of the operations of the sports. So, so we have everything from that all the way down to just providing some services through partnerships in some of the facilities that we're in. So
now, you said you were recruited into this position. I'm just wondering, is the executive who was watching Sound Off one night and watching this goofball hosting this show that thought, that's the guy I want to run everything on our sports side, is he still with Parkview?
He is actually the CEO now, and it was largely based on that decision, that was, from what I've been
obviously
told.
Obviously, that had to be that decision.
That's the rumor around the water cooler. You know, people are talking. His name is Rick Hemby, and he is our CEO now. And if you like, no one's going to remember this, but one thing that Dute remembers certainly is in my last couple of years at Parkview, Parkview Sports Medicine was sponsoring most, if not all, of the different programs that that I was hosting at the time, because it had literally just started. When I came over, I think it was about 2 years old when I came over, and so that was through a relationship at Parkview that kind of just blossomed over time, and it kind of just organically turned into what it turned into. So.
And where are you actually from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
That's what I thought. Because West Virginia is not home. West Virginia is
correct.
The Mountaineers.
Yes.
But when you came to Fort Wayne, first of all, I imagine you probably had to find it on a map.
Yeah.
But when you got an offer to come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and do sports, did you ever imagine how many years later? What's it been, 20 years, 20 better than 20 years?
Yeah.
That you would still be here and the job that you would have?
No, definitely not. The answer to that across the board is no. When I pulled into town, I did not know a soul. Whatever that was, 2002, I believe it was. So came and very much thought that I was going to be here for 2, maybe 3 years, and then I was trying to get back over to the East Coast with some kind of TV job, get closer to family, because my whole family still lives in the Northern Virginia area. And about halfway through year number two, met a young lady who was cheerleading coach at Blackhawk Christian. And about a little less than a year after that, I got married. And
if you're wondering why you saw a lot of Blackhawk highlights on
exactly.
Channel 21.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guy, he's at Blackhawk again? What is going on?
Yeah. I asked my now wife for her phone number at a basketball game, and there's a funny joke that she will hit me when I get home for telling, story, that the athletic director came over to her after I walked away and jokingly said, anything for some coverage.
Well, Tommy, it's great to have you with us. And, of course, tonight, a big night, the NFL draft. It is the first round. And of course, now, I wonder, when you move to Indiana and you kind of get your roots here, and I don't want to say roots, but, you know, you kind of lay your feet down here in Indiana. How long does it take before you embrace the geographical sports landscape here? I mean, do you feel like you're a fan of this area, or is your heart still that strong with Washington sports and West Virginia sports that you never, ever got into the fandom side of sports in this area?
Yeah, I would say I have gotten into the fandom side of sports in Fort Wayne. I'm a I love the Comets. Yep. You know, I'm a very big Comets fan. But professionally, I'm still a Washington guy and still a West Virginia guy. You know what's happened to me and you, because you're from here, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So maybe a little bit of a different experience for me than it would be for you. I think if I had covered sports in the place that I had grown up and I was covering the teams that I had grown up a fan of, would have been a different experience. But when you start covering sports and it becomes your job and you're not in an area that you're, you know, familiar with or a fan of, I actually lost touch with most of the teams that I grew up being a fan of because you're so concentrated on your teams and that you're covering, and you're covering them while your other teams that you grew up a fan of are playing. I was 9 years on the weekends before I became the sports director at 21. Well, the then Redskins, now Commanders, were playing at the exact same time that I needed to cover the Colts. So I went 9 years without watching a game. I've kind of lost touch with the Command. I'm not nearly as big of a fan as I used to be. I'm much more. The only two that I really have hung with are the Caps and West Virginia football. Those two I've kind of hung on to. But I would say I'm much less of a sports fan now than I was when I first started covering sports.
Just to catch you up, Billy Kilmer is not the quarterback anymore in Washington.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, thank you. Sonny Jurgensen, is he retired?
Close, yeah.
Okay.
Tommy Shegler joining us here on the Sports Rush. Once again, we are broadcasting live from Electric Works, and we're right in Dynamo Alley, which basically you come off Broadway and we're the first tent you're going to see here at the Indy 500 Fan Fest, where you can come out and enjoy a lot of booths. They've got displays with the Indy 500 race car. So come on out and spend some time here between 5 and 8 tonight. But that will be just before we get into the draft. And we're going to, I don't want to open up this draft talk yet. We're going to take it after the break. But right now, I do want to find out what's happening in the world of sports on this Thursday. So let's find out. We got to turn it over to the man, Adam Lundy. He's got a look at today's top headlines.
All right, thanks, Brett. Well, I know you said you did want to avoid some draft talk, but Diana Russini is reporting that the LA Rams, who haven't picked in the first round since 2016, are calling to get into the top 10. Per sources, the Rams are pursuing this trade into the top 10 with a specific player in mind, and it is not a quarterback, per sources. Milwaukee Bucks forward Chris Middleton's status for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference first-round playoff series with the Indiana Pacers is uncertain after he hurt his ankle in the last game and did not practice today. Bucks coach Doc Rivers said Middleton didn't practice at all today and was unsure of the three-time All-Star's availability for Friday's game in Indianapolis. And for the first time since 2019, MLB will dedicate 3 days in August to players, focusing on showcasing them beyond their stats and on-field performances, according to a release distributed today. From August 16th through the 18th, a different aspect of players' lives will be highlighted through in-stadium events, game broadcasts, and social media. And those are your top headlines today, Brett.
46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, and suggestions. Let us know what's on your sports brain on this Thursday. Gorgeous day, not a cloud in the sky. Mother Nature could dial up the furnace just a little bit. And get it maybe a little bit warmer. I think low 50s or somewhere, mid 50s maybe. But a bit cool, but just a gorgeous spring day. And we will be broadcasting here up until 6 o'clock. So come on out and join us. Up next, the NFL draft. What should the Colts do? What will the Colts do? This one is on Chris Ballard big time. We'll tell you why when we come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush. We are on the road at Electric Works, broadcasting live up until 6 o'clock. We invite you to stop by for the Indy 500 Fan Fest here at Electric Works. It will get started at about 5 o'clock. It'll run to 8 o'clock tonight. And, of course, that runs it right into tonight's NFL draft. Colts probably are going to get their pick somewhere. Well, if they stay put, we don't know. We have to pay attention because they... Well, what am I saying? They might move up. Is that really a possibility?
Saying,
yeah, I know. It's Chris Ballard still who's calling the shots. And remember, Jim Irsay's not going to be in the draft room. So I don't know if that changes the way the Colts go about their business. But first of all, I kind of feel like Chris Ballard has approached the draft in a rather cowardly way. And the reason I say that is, okay, you figure each year you've got to try to get a couple of guys that really hit, you know, guys that are going to have impact on your team, guys that are going to sign a second contract. You want to get a couple of guys, maybe three each year. Well, Chris Ballard's always drafted with the philosophy of essentially buying insurance policies.
Yeah.
You know, if you figure one out of every four guys you draft is really going to be the guy for a second contract and you have four draft picks, that means you might get one out of that draft. So Chris Ballard figures if he gets 12 picks, he can find three, right? And so it's kind of, instead of finding the right player and getting a superstar, he goes with the kind of the statistics, you know, and goes that route. And my concern is, to me, that's the cowardly way to go about a draft, is to figure quantity will give you the quality. Because if you get enough guys, you'll find quality within some of those guys. This is a year where the Colts have 22 starters that are coming back. You only are looking for upgrades, which means you can't just get another guy like the ones you've got, because your team gets no better if you just go out and draft a guy that's just like the ones you've been drafting over the last 5-6 years. That's why I have been preaching this is the year of quality over quantity. Use the draft picks, get leverage, move up, get a guy that's going to be an impact guy, not just now, but for the future. And right now, your franchise is tied into a second-year quarterback who's basically a rookie quarterback. And to make him better and to build for the future of the franchise, I think you've got to be aggressive. You've got to get up there to get one of these top three wide receivers. I know the name Brock Bowers is being thrown around. There's a couple of receivers that might slide a little bit, you know, and we got to keep an eye on guys like, what is it, Brian Thomas, the wide receiver out of LSU, led the country in TD receptions last year. Or another name that all of a sudden has become real popular in being attached to the Colts is Xavier Worthy, a wide receiver out of Texas.
Yeah.
Comparisons have been made to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he's very speedy. He set a new 40 record at the combine.
Yeah, fastest 40 times since 2003 at 4.21. I remember when I ran those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I think I'm the one in 2003. 4.21.
1903.
I just appreciate somebody thought it was 19.
The 19.
I've been 18. But anyway, Tyreek Hill has been kind of a comparison for Xavier Worthy. So when we watch the draft tonight, don't be surprised if the Colts do trade down. It might be to slide a little bit because they feel the wide receivers and the guys that they are looking at in the first round, if it is a Xavier Worthy, if it is a Brian Thomas, those might be guys that slide into that 18, 20, 22 range. And if they do, maybe the Colts would be okay if they pick up a draft pick and still get a guy like that. But to me, the guys that are more the guarantees, the guys that are going to come in and immediately have an impact and make Anthony Richardson better. And I don't think there's any question. Because right now I look at the Colts and I think, what happens if Michael Pittman Jr. gets hurt? What do you have at wide receiver? Alec Pierce becomes your number one?
That's not good.
No, that doesn't work. So, and I think, you know, the guys capable of being a number one receiver are guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and maybe Rome Odunze. I'm not quite as high on him, but I certainly, for where I think the Colts could get with a trade, I don't even consider Harrison because I think he's going to go in the top five. But I do think Nabers could be a definite shot for the Colts. But I say move up, be aggressive. It's going to be awfully hard to get Chris Ballard to do it, but it will be very intriguing to see how it comes out.
Absolutely, but going back to the way he kind of has drafted in the past, it's kind of like you have a perfect chair selected for your living room. It'll fit great. It'll be the best chair. It's comfy. But instead, you go out and you buy 20 used secondhand chairs for $10 a piece, and you hope that one of them will fit in your living room as well as the one you originally liked.
Well, I use the analogy that if you go to the store and buy milk.
Yeah.
And end up finding the ice cream on sale, and the ice cream sounds really good, and you end up going home with ice cream. You're really excited because you got some great ice cream at a really good price. But guess what? When you get home, you still need milk. You know, and that's kind of what the Colts have done. That's their draft philosophy. They keep going to the store and getting lots of ice cream.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything.
I can relate, though.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I mean, I think that the offense has needed a big playmaker for quite some time now. I mean, you've got to have someone who can stretch the field to continue to allow the running game to be, you know, what has been the strength of the team. Obviously, also Richardson, then, it opens up for things for him and his athleticism. So I think you got to try to get a wide receiver or some kind of playmaker. You can make the argument that the Bowers kid could do the same types of things for you with the way that they use tight ends. And obviously with his athleticism and the things that he can do on a field. But conservative. He's established, a name for himself. He's established a 10-year with the Colts. Is he on the hot seat? Is he not on the hot seat? I mean, a lot of times those guys that trade down are the guys that are trying to save their job and just trying to, they don't want to take the big shot because they don't want to be pegged with, hey, you took the big swing and,
yeah,
and it didn't hit. So, but he's been around long enough that where you'd think he'd be ready to take a shot. And it feels like that's what he should do tonight. I would tend to agree with that assessment. But sitting where they're sitting because of the season that they had, you can still get a really quality guy there. It's unfortunate that the three guys that, I think are huge game changers are probably going to go in the top eight. I disagree with what you said. From an Adunze standpoint, I watched a lot of Washington football games late at night, maybe or maybe not tracing my losses from earlier in the day. But that kid stretches the field. He is long and athletic. I like his prospects in the NFL. So
here's what I'm hung up on with him, though, Tommy, is it's kind of the same situation that came out of LSU when you had Joe Burrow throwing to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know, and it almost goes back to a Belichick and Brady. You don't know how good they are individually because you've seen them together. And Penix had such an outstanding year that, yes, a receiver is going to look good. In other words, he doesn't have to be as great when he's got a quarterback that's playing at that level. And that's why I look at Adunze and I'm like, am I being influenced by the fact he had a really good quarterback having a heck of a year in a offensive, happy conference in the Pac-12?
Yeah.
I mean, that conference was 45-38 almost every week.
Yeah, and you make a good point. I mean, in the championship game against Michigan, both of them, the windows got a lot smaller and the success wasn't as great. But he was running free through the Texas secondary. So, when you look at Washington highlights, Penix wasn't throwing into a ton of tight windows. There was a lot of 7, 8, 9 yard separation, and he's feathering in just a beautiful deep ball, which he's got just a fantastic deep ball. But it wasn't like he was, putting that through two defenders to get it to the guy that often. But you make a really good point. It was against horrible defenses.
Yeah.
And so then the question becomes, you can question both on the Penix side and the Adunze side.
Penix has taken a pretty good beating by some of the critics and draft experts where all this, they're starting to put him low first round, questioning if he is even worth a first round pick. Now, I think because of the value of quarterbacks, he'll be overdrafted.
That always happens.
He'll be overdrafted.
Play for IU.
You could have every, talking head. You could have every talking head telling you they're going to put him at in the mock draft 26, 28, 32, whatever. But the reality is when it comes to draft night, somebody is going to see a quarterback sitting on the board and
they're
going to panic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to panic. They're going to decide, I can't let this guy go to someone else. We've got to grab him. And especially if he slips, because then a little lower price, maybe not as much pressure to have him start. So, I just don't see Penix getting out of the top 20, 22 picks, even in worst case scenario. And they might be more aggressive than that. I mean, we'll wait and see. But what is your hope out of tonight for the Colts? Do you hope that Ballard's aggressive? Do you hope that he finds a good player at 15? What are you hoping for, at least early in the draft tonight?
Personally, I think that they're picking high enough to where they can still get a really quality player. And they have a lot of needs, right? So, like, I'm not saying they're not a solid team, but do you want to be a middle-of-the-pack team, or do you want to be a playoff team that is contending for a division and contending, you know, even higher than that? So, I think they can get a solid player at 15, and if they don't have to mortgage some of the other top picks in order to get up there, then why not do it that way? And obviously, Ballard has shown that that's probably the way that he's going to lean. But I will say, in saying that, I wouldn't hate it if I was a Colts fan and I saw them give up a couple picks to get up into that top eight and get one of those flashy guys.
Okay, Tommy, you mentioned about the Washington Commanders. We're going to give you a chance to weigh in because they have a big decision to make.
They do.
I think they've made it. They just haven't told us. But the number two pick in the draft, we know that Williams is going to go number one to the Bears.
Certainly.
Number two, who's the best quarterback of the remaining ones? Is it going to be Jaden Daniels?
I'm going to make a bold statement.
Ooh.
And say that I think that Drake May is the best quarterback in the whole draft.
Wow.
So
wow.
I would like to see them take Drake May. I think those other two quarterbacks, Caleb and Daniels, are fantastic college quarterbacks. And, you know, look at me, you know, questioning a guy coming out of the system that has produced, you know, whatever it's been the last however many Heisman winners. And so I know it was from USC instead of Oklahoma this time, but so, you know, questioning Williams, okay, one way or another, but I just think that those guys' games, perfect for the college game. I question how it's going to translate to the professional game, and I think Drake May is the one thing about Drake May. If you watch any UNC games, you look at him on paper, and it's like, this is your more stereotypical NFL quarterback that's going to drop back and pass it, which I do think he fits into those skill sets better than the other two. Williams is definitely stride for stride with him there. Cause
a little more of the true pocket passer style.
But he's athletic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he can run.
You know who I think of it as? Justin Herbert. And I guess the question is, if you think Herbert is a success, which I think the jury is kind of mixed. I mean, his team hasn't necessarily had great success. But my comp for a Drake May is kind of a Justin Herbert type.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that Herbert would be a lot better of a success story if he had had any semblance of a coaching staff in his first 5 or 6 years.
So you think that changes this year?
Oh, yeah, I think that does change this year. I think that, you know, unfortunately, because I'm not necessarily what I would describe as a Harbaugh fan, he has, you know, stumbled his way into another perfect situation that he can be you know, kind of weirdo and still look like the mad scientist, because that guy's one of the stranger people in sports.
Did you ever meet him?
I did not meet him. But
I mean, you've got a pretty strong opinion.
No,
I'm just wondering.
I did not meet him. I do have a really funny story about Harbaugh, but it's Dean Pantazzi's story.
We may want to go to break.
Yeah, go to break. I have a good one.
We'll come back. Maybe have some Harbaugh talk. Maybe not. We've got to censor it before we get there. Also, coming up on the show, Mastodons have made some noise. Women's basketball today. With a hometown girl coming back to finish her college career. Also coming up, we'll talk tin caps, more draft talk, and of course we'll check our text line 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, and let us know what you think the Colts should do tonight. Who is the name that we want to hear the Colts call out? And should the Colts move up? Should they stay put? Should they trade down and try to get more draft picks? You let us know at 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a break, be back. It's the Sports Rush on location at the Indy 500 Fan Fest at Electric Works on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back on this Thursday edition of the Sports Rush, broadcasting live from Electric Works for the Indy 500 Fan Fest. And the BorgWarner Trophy is here, all shined up. Chance for you to see that. See an Indy 500 race car. All types of things. You can actually wave a flag in front of a backdrop to make it look like you're waving the green flag for this year's 500. But we are here at Electric Works up until 6, but the event is going to go from 5 to 8, so plenty of time for you to come on down. It's amazing what the staff from IMS has come in here into the Summit City and what they have set up to give fans kind of a feel of the experience down at the Indy 500.
Yeah, it's awesome. I just went down and checked out the trophy myself. It's a lot bigger in person, and it's nice and shiny. They got a great photo op that you can do. You can hold like a either a flag down there as well, or you can hold a milk bottle down there next to the trophy and get your picture taken.
I really want, Adam, I want to get a shot of me pouring a milk on your head.
You just want to dump milk on my head, right?
I do. I tried it over at the flag station, but they said, no, you can't dump milk on somebody at the flag station. So, So we'll have to see if we can get that worked out before the end of the show. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. All right, so before we went to break, we were talking about Jim Harbaugh making the move from Michigan to go out and coach, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Justin Herbert's now going to be his quarterback out there. Tommy was kind enough to tease us with a little bit of a story about Jim Harbaugh. And I you know, I got a little nervous because, you know, I know Tommy too well, and he brought the name Dean Fantasi into it, and I thought, that's it, we're going to break. But, Tommy, you've got a story that from your days in TV regarding Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, so this was years ago before I lived in Fort Wayne. Harbaugh actually, pre-coach, he was the quarterback for the Bears, okay? So he evidently, now you've been around forever, so maybe you remember. Evidently, back in the day.
Well, he was the quarterback for the Colts, too. Was this with the Colts or the Bears?
I'm pretty sure it was the Bears. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Do you remember a couple years where the Bears came into town and did like a special game or a special appearance as a team?
I do not.
Ringing a bell at all? No?
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
but I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, so it's.
Neither here nor there. So, evidently, the Bears were here. They were making an appearance. And as part of the appearance, they played a flag football game against celebrities. Okay? And, of course, the dean of sports was part of that whole thing. And so he's telling us a story in the newsroom one day. And Pantazzi's an edge rusher. We all know him. I mean, he's... He was playing.
Prototypical.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy. So he's playing D-line. Harbaugh, of course, is playing quarterback. The way Dean tells it, Harbaugh drops back. Dean comes storming around the edge, leaps into the air at the flag. And the way that Harbaugh was standing, Dean says he realized in midair, I'm going to end this guy's career.
Did Dean have a moment where he forgot it was flag?
I think I'm mostly doing it for jest, but I think the way he was headed through the air, he felt like he was getting ready to hit him in the side of the legs, side of the knees.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I tucked and rolled and got myself out of it. And Harbaugh was coming back. You know, Harbaugh throws a dart or whatever and is, you know, kind of coming back to the huddle, goes by Pantazzi, taps him on the butt, and is like, hey, thanks, bud. The way Dean tells it, Harbaugh realized that his career was getting ready to be ended. But luckily, Dean was able to save it.
So Dean Pantazzi could have been Bernard Pollard before Bernard Pollard was Bernard Pollard.
Yes, it could have been the Harbaugh rule.
Yeah, instead of the Pollard. Yeah, absolutely. Just unplugged our headphone. We'll get that. All right, there we are. We're back. But anyway, Tommy, so we were talking about the draft a little bit. Indy 500 talk while we've got this fan fest going on. In all the years you were here, was that something you covered? Did you attend a race? What's your engagement with the 500?
A ton, yeah. So being an East Coast guy, was not a race guy at all. And had no familiarity with the Indy 500 before I moved to Indiana, and I would say it is my favorite sporting event in the state every year now. The years of getting to go down to practice and then covering the race, I probably covered it, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. And one of my favorite experiences that I ever had with my dad was him coming down on the weekend of race day. And he came to visit, and I got some passes to get him down into the pits and stuff. I was off work, so I wasn't covering it that day, but we got to go down as a father and son, and he's a big speed guy, he's a former Air Force guy, so he loves anything fast, and we just had a great time. Yeah, I love the race.
Tommy Shegler with us out here, joining us until about 5:15, 5:20 or so. You're going to be able to hang out?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Is there a sporting event that you covered, maybe an annual event like the 500, maybe it's just a team that you were following, but was there any sports that you covered as a member of the media that once you were out of media, you bought a ticket and went, and because you wanted to go back and see an actual event or a game, or what do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the 500 definitely falls into that category. I'm not sure I would have ever bought a ticket myself if I hadn't gone for the reason of, you know, of work. But once I was down there, I was like, whoa, this is so much cooler than I thought it was going to be. I would say maybe other things that fall into that category would be the and this is racing too, but it's true. Remember, I don't think they do it anymore, but there used to be the Rumble in Fort Wayne that was in the Expo Center where they did the midgets.
Yeah, they still
do. They still do it? Okay, yeah. I went back and watched that as a spectator just because I thought it was really cool.
Tony Stewart there then?
No, he was not there then. He did not. I don't think he. When I was there, I covered him as a member of the media a couple different times at that event, and that's a whole nother story. But he was not there when I went as a spectator.
Your driving didn't end Tony Stewart's career.
Yes.
Slammed on the brakes. You saved Tony Stewart's life.
Yes, I can. The only thing I can say about Tony Stewart is all the rumors of his grumpiness are very, very true.
Some people are more media friendly than others.
Yes, that's true.
We all find that out. 46862. Let us know what is on your mind. By the way, yesterday we announced this. We're excited about it. Coming up on May 23rd out at Parkview Field, we're going to have a special summer kickoff, and we'll be out there with the Tin Caps on the summit on top of the 400 Club.
Yeah.
And we invite you to be a part of it. We've got tickets for you to purchase right now. You can go to our Twitter. You can go to our Facebook, 1380 The Fan. And we've got the link to go get your tickets. You want to hurry and get them. The first 100 fans are going to get a commemorative cup. And, of course, our Tin Caps night is May 23rd, which happens to be the Thursday leading in to Memorial Day weekend, which is also known as Race Weekend here in Indiana.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, you know, you like food, you like drinks, who doesn't? We've got you covered there, too.
Absolutely. Tickets are only $40 and includes all-you-can-eat food service, draft beer, and house wine. And you mentioned you get that commemorative cup. Not to mention, it's also going to be a throwback night at the Tin Caps. They're going to be playing as the Fort Wayne Wizards. And there will be fireworks after the game.
Well, Tommy can relate because that's what they were when he actually was covering them.
That's true. Yeah.
It is true.
It is.
That is May 23rd. Get the information. Go to our social media pages and just click on the link to buy your tickets. Just $40 a piece. And this is, you know what's nice about it? It's a group area. And the top level rooftop of the Center Field 400 Club. But you can actually buy individual tickets to be part of our event. So it's one of the rare times you're actually going to be able to sit up there is to buy tickets with us. So come hang out with us. Midwest Box Breaks, kind enough to be our sponsor for that event. And I believe Ben is going to be there.
Awesome.
And everywhere Ben goes, there's some baseball cards follow.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there. But anyway, we'll count on you on May 23rd. All right, Tommy. So the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay, number one pick, Caleb Williams. Is it the right? You said you like Drake May.
I do like Drake May.
You think the Bears should take Drake May number one?
Ooh, I would if I were them. But
really?
I mean, I don't think that they can. I mean, I think you got to go with Caleb Williams just because You can't be the Bears and not pick the guy that everybody's been talking about yeah. the last
well,
3 years.
But, you know, let's ask this question. Justin Fields, you know, did they make the right decision? Because the first decision they had to make was, were they going to keep the number one pick and draft a quarterback?
Yeah.
And so they moved on from Justin Fields. Was that inevitable with this situation?
It is going to be fascinating to see what he does in Pittsburgh. I know, you know, he's got the Russell thing that, who knows, that's going to be a really fascinating team to watch, honestly. But I think one of the reasons I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be that good is because I think the Bears will screw him up. Like, if anything has been proven over the history of the last 40 years, it's that the Bears don't – I mean, ever since Harbaugh, you know, it all comes back to Harbaugh. But, you know, they're going to screw up the quarterback. They always do. And so I think that Justin Fields actually could be a good quarterback if he gets into the right situation. And the Steelers are the best run organization in the NFL. I mean, I'm not sure how you can argue with the success that they've had over a 50-year period of stability and ongoing success and, you know, wins over generations. So I just think that they're one of the, if they're not the best, they are damn near the top. So
what about Russell Wilson? Look at his career. He's been coached by Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Denver, where he's coached by Sean Payton. And yeah. now he goes to Tomlin in Pittsburgh. I mean, you can't have really a better trio of coaches.
Yeah,
to play under, it just did not work at all over a couple of years out in Denver.
I think Sean Payton really hates that guy. You
yeah.
read through the
yeah,
lines
I don't
on...
know what happened there, but
just didn't
did,
like him.
Yeah, it didn't work. What was the guy before Hazlitt?
Hazlitt,
and then it didn't work there, and then they brought in Payton. That was supposed. I think that was supposed to kind of get him on track because of Peyton's success with Drew
right.
Brees. Didn't work at all. It was oil and water from what seemingly was the start.
Yeah, I think that one of the things about the quarterback position that I think is different than any of the other ones on the field is that you have to have the locker room. You have to have people that you have to have a locker room that wants to follow you, right? And I don't think that Russell Wilson has had that for most of his career. He had the benefit of having success when they had the clear best roster in the entire NFL. And he doesn't have the athleticism that he used to have. He doesn't like to follow a script, and he's not good enough to ad-lib a script anymore. So I think he's done. I think that Justin Fields will bubble up to the top quarterback.
We'll see a transition there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to start out as Wilson because I think it has to, just given his legacy and what he's accomplished in the league. But I would think that Fields will be the starting quarterback there pretty quickly.
We're going to take a break, top of the hour. We're going to come back, our 5 o'clock hour. More talk on the NFL draft. Plus, we've got news about the Mastodons. It all comes up right here on the Sports Rush Live. I am Brett Rump with Adam Lundy and Tommy Shegler as our guest co-host. It's all happening here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.